लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. As you know, I love to talk to many people from all over the space. And today I have someone of kind of news genre in this space. He is a man with a lot of visions. And as I'm always saying, you need a vision, otherwise it cannot come true. So I'm very happy that he joins me today for this episode and we can talk about the vision and his experiences in the vertical space. And I'm saying hello to Irvine Gelb. Welcome to the podcast, Irvine.
Thank you very much. Welcome to LA.
Yeah, I've never been there. Sadly. Oh. Yeah, sadly not. But the time will come, soon. I'm sure the time will come. I saw you, but I saw you before in a few panels via Zoom. I watched the Vertical Summit. I watched, and so you are not unknown to me, let's say it in that way. And I invited you because I love your visions. I love the things you talk open and honest about in this vertical space. So I want to discuss them also with you because I know that you heard a few of the monthly recaps I'm doing with the ladies, that we are talking about what the audience wants, what is happening in this vertical space. And you are based in LA. So let's say you are deep in this. And I would love to have a short introduction of yours. What are you doing exactly in this vertical space, and how did you end up in this vertical space?
Good question. I have a long background in the entertainment industry. I started out in traditional television and film. And actually, to give you a bigger background, I grew up as a kid who watched television all the time. I was a latchkey kid. You know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I know.
I watched television. Television was my friend. I watched old movies when I was a kid and TV shows. So I'm a big fan of all forms of entertainment, and started to work in the industry in different aspects, in distribution, licensing, and international business. I worked with the Japanese, with Mitsubishi Trading Company. Mm-hmm. I started their first office in LA, and then another company in Japan, at Wow Wow, it's a TV station, and produced a lot of big movies. So I know that side of the industry. And then I had a long journey to then become a talent manager. And I like helping people. So I wanted to do work with actors and discover people and help them with their career. And that was going very well for many years. And then the industry changed after COVID and the economy. And I discovered the microdrama world. I had been ignoring it for many months and didn't want my actors to appear on small cell phones. And then there was one casting call in Toronto. And I asked my client, who is now very well known, came and caught it, whether he wanted to go. And he said, yeah, he got the job. They booked him for another job back to back. So he spent 2 weeks there. He called me every day, told me about it. I looked into it and I became hooked. I understood what it could be, where it was going in many different directions. And I've been totally immersed in the vertical, short form, episodic micro drama world for the past 2 years plus.
Have you always been in LA?
No, originally from, and you'll hear it now, New York.
Okay.
New York, and came here a few decades ago, and
So you saw all the development, how it
yeah.
came up.
I've been here since the early 90s,
Yes.
so I went through the home video boom, and then of course the streaming boom, internet, and saw a lot of different phases of the industry.
So when you or when you entered with, let's say, with Cayman, this micro drama space, what were your first thoughts about it?
I understood it rapidly, and I understood what it could be, and I saw where it was. I researched it intensely. I've been totally immersed in it almost 24 hours a day ever since. So I knew the history from China, the Duangzhou background, and the reason why a lot of the content was the way it was. And I have to say, I had the vision in many ways of where it could go, and I was very excited about it. I've been more excited now with this new media than ever before in my career.
Okay, so now you have now found something that really hooks you. Okay, I have the feeling verticals hooks everyone in any different way. I mean, have you ever watched a vertical in total? The whole classic
Actually,
storyline
yeah.
tropes.
So, full disclosure, I'm not a personal fan of the genre. I think because of my age and what I grew up with, I prefer longer form storytelling. I saw a couple with Cayman when his new series came out, but I have to tell you, I hope no one is offended. I watch a few episodes up to the paywall and then I'm out. But I have to tell you, I've seen a few when they're shown without the episodes, seamless, and especially on a larger screen. And I enjoyed them. I saw one rom-com with Noah Fernley. I forgot the name. I think Alejandro Fumero produced it for Shorts. And
For shorts.
it was at the last LA vertical drama market last year. And
It was not Office Enemies, wasn't it? No.
it was, I think it was, yeah, where he was with a
Because Office
girl
Enemies
of
was
Office.
a
Yeah.
really good one
And
of him.
I really enjoyed it. And they showed it on a bigger screen, the seamless. And I enjoyed it a lot. And then, of course, I'm an associate producer on the new musical that Scott Brown and Stacey Howard produced called Playback, starring Hannah Stocking. And I helped him with final edits and saw it twice then. And we had a screening at a big theater in Beverly Hills, and I really enjoyed it. So that's my preference.
I think this the screenings will come up because, for example, Megan Johnson from Real Drama did a screen or hosted a screening for Love and Blood in LA, where you also saw it
Yeah.
on a really big. It was vertical, but it was a big screen, and I think the atmosphere was really good there. You know, for example, I prefer watching them on my iPad more than on the smartphone, because as you've said, I also love a bit these bigger screens to have it. But yeah, the smartphones are so easy. You know, you can watch it everywhere with them. It's really easy to hop in and check out a few episodes and
And that's the native form of viewing, and I
yeah.
understand it. That's what micro dramas are basically for, the private viewing. And but I have a concept to produce these for many different formats, the smaller mobile episodic format. Making it seamless on the mobile phone, and also producing it so that you can watch it in the horizontal format on a bigger screen and do it all at once. So that's my vision.
Yeah, Drama Pops, the app which shoots a lot in Turkey and in Lithuania. They had a few verticals dropped where you can choose if you want to watch it horizontal or vertically. And I, to be honest, watched it more horizontal if it was possible. I preferred it watching horizontal that
But
way.
most people on their cell phone, the majority do prefer to watch it in the vertical viewing format. But my concept is you should have a horizontal option for a bigger screen, and that way you can share it more. And I think the female market, that's the majority, can bring their men, their friends over and watch it. And
Do you think that will happen in the near
yes, I
future,
do. With
that
the
we
right
have more variety in horizontal or vertical?
both. And I'm working on that. Yes, it's easier than ever. And Candy Jar shoots everything, to my knowledge, in both formats, and they're also streaming. They stream on, I believe, Amazon.
Amazon Prime, is it?
So,
Yeah. Yeah, they stream it too.
And last May they premiered Kaylee, a remake of their original that
Yeah.
they filmed in the horizontal format, and they premiered it at a big theater.
I saw the BTS of that, or the what was it called? The premiere party I saw on Instagram, yeah.
And the screening was perfect. It was great. It was, you couldn't tell it was episodic. And then they dropped the episodic format on their Candy Jar app the next morning.
Well,
So
to be honest, I'm a big fan of Candy Jar, not because it's based here in Germany. I'm the fan because their storylines are based on books, you know? So you never, you nearly, let's say nearly, never can go wrong with a Candy Jar show, because the content is much more better than on the bigger or the big platforms. Okay, they are dropping not so many shows per month, but the quality is much better. Then I prefer having 8 shows per month in a good quality more than having 8 shows per week in less quality.
isn't that more important?
It
Candy
should
Jar pays a
be.
lot of attention to quality, and I love everyone working there. And
It's the same with Drama Pops. I've never seen a show on Drama Pops which was less in quality. The cinematic style, the coloring, the sound, stuff like that, the whole post-production of the Drama Pop shows is really, really great. And everyone I spoke with who had the possibility to shoot in Lithuania or Turkey, everyone was so fascinated about the shootings there. Yesterday, I talked to Aaron Oberst, and he shot in Lithuania and in Turkey. And he said, Michaela, you cannot imagine how different it is than shooting in the US. It's more, the big thing is more from the atmosphere and from the motivation to do it in a really good quality is much better than somewhere else. And I do you have an idea why this is in that way? Why this is functioning here in Europe, let's say with Europe's base, it's also the same with my drama. Also European shot mostly and European based platform. Everywhere, I have the feeling everywhere the Europeans are involved, the quality is a bit better. Why?
Well, it depends on the platform, the app, the producer, but and their business model. The platforms that depend on building up their user base and do a lot of customer acquisition, work on quantity and quality is a little less important, and there are those that place a lot of importance on that. A lot of the newcomers are doing that, Gamma Time and others. So I have a whole that's a whole other discussion. I have very specific theories on that, and that's important for the industry.
For me, I'm more than happy to see, as I said, this new pirate vertical, or both pirate verticals. The first one was published on Candy Jar, the second one on My Drama. Every time I have the feeling these smaller platforms are more willing to take risks for new genres. They are more kind of open to listen to the audience, what they want to see, what they want to have in that way. And in my opinion, to be honest, I haven't had a membership on Reelshort since more than a half a year now. Because surely they are dropping shows over shows, but I cannot watch them. I cannot watch them. I started watching in summer 2023, and as you know, surely no, mostly of the audience is hooked by Reelshort advertising. So everyone's maybe starts watching at Reelshort. But and most of them are doing a yearly membership for the first time on Reelshort. And after that year, when you talk to them again, you see that they are not happy with that because they discovered that there are so much more platforms where they can watch with so much more different stories and qualities. So for me, when I'm talking to people also, so long as I am in this watching industry, let's say it that way, mostly of them don't watch anymore on Reelshort or the big platforms. Mostly of them, as you said, Gamma Time, My Drama, Drama Pops, Candy Jar, all these smaller platforms, because the quality is better and even the pricing is not so high.
A lot of the bigger platforms do test different formats or genres, but from my knowledge, they haven't been as successful as the others. So that's why they are kind of, from a business model standpoint, forced to go with the trope, more trope-like content, and the ones that the data tells them they need to have. But I'm a big proponent of listening to the audience. And I think you need to combine data with the audience input. And for a long time, maybe a year and a half, I've been hearing the same story that you're telling me from the audience. And that's why retention, it keeps diminishing. The audience in one series could drop dramatically starting from the end of the third part of the episode. So by midway, it's maybe a 50% drop. And many of the big platforms have five, maximum 10% retention at the end. I understand that Gamma Time says they're getting a higher retention, maybe 30%, which is great. But that's what's happening. And what the audience told me long time ago is, Irv, I can tell from the first few episodes what this is going to be about. It's the
Me
same.
too. Me too.
Yeah, I call them the clones, the copycats. And they're doing it because they think they need to do it. And I hope that they're getting a result, but it doesn't look like it in the long
Now
term.
you have sometimes always the shows. Sometimes they don't even bother to change the name of the characters or the show itself. You know what I mean? I remember it was at the beginning of last year, the first show with this frozen stuff came out, you know, someone with the Alexandria Watts, it was in one.
My friend
So,
produced it.
and 3 days later, on another platform, exactly the same show dropped. Totally exactly. I checked that. They were even saying exactly the same.
Oh, well, that's
Totally the same
the
characters, title, only different platforms and a different cast, and that was it.
Last count that I have for a Frozen themed F series is like 50 something. Literally. They're throwing Frozen into all of these.
And then we had lately the stories with this 99, you know, 99 times sorry, and then so there was one where she gets a pearl every time he was going wrong. The next vertical she got for her bracelet an ad. The next one she got. So the storyline was always the same. The only thing that changed was what they were getting when he messed it up. And so as you said, I'm going totally with you that I can tell you mostly after not even hitting the paywall what will going on what will go on in the storylines. I mean, I've watched more than 1,500 verticals now, and that's what I'm a studied business informatics, so all these numbers are only shown on the big platforms. The smaller platforms you can find nowhere the numbers shown when you go there. And we all know that such numbers are so easy to manipulate, and they count even as one. Even if you click accidentally on the advertising, it counts as one view. So it's totally, in my opinion, unrealistic to work with these numbers. And as I said, I watched more than 1,500 verticals and for more than 3 years now, and it's so much repeating, so much repeating and
I'll give
repeating.
you one of the reasons is the bigger platforms depend on acquiring users. And how do they acquire them? Ad spend on TikTok, ByteDance, and Meta, Facebook and Instagram, etc. Okay, so how do they do that? They create very short promotion clips, clipping. And they, as you know, they do hundreds, thousands of variations. So their data shows them that certain scenes, certain emotions, certain actions trigger people coming onto their platform from the advertising, and that's the ad spend. But as you say, they will then acquire views, but how important those views are based on total viewing, is very questionable. And I mean, a view could be you click on the first episode for the first 10 seconds and then you're off. That's a view. So that's why that's another discussion. Advertisers have depended on view count for streaming and other entertainment, but you can't apply that to the micro dramas because micro dramas are created differently. They're episodic. You have to know retention. Did someone go past the paywall? Then how far did they get? Do they see your ad, your brand placement in episode 39? So I'm working on that, and that's an important aspect.
We saw a few verticals already with kind of brands placed in it. Shein and what was the one with the robo vacuumer? Look, Charles Stafford had in one of his verticals.
Where he played a an AI, and Crocs and Procter and Gamble and Maybelline and
Do you think there will be more product placements in verticals?
Well, I do, and I discovered a man who is an ad tech pioneer. For 30 years, and he created a platform called Branded Streams that will be a marketplace for content owners, producers, distributors, and brands, advertisers that will standardize the industry. So, where is the industry going? Advertisers. Brands need connection to the audience more than ever. How do they do that? The old advertising method of selling, buy this product is over. It's old. You need to connect to the audience. You need to show them that you're entertaining them. They need to be drawn into your content. So they are dying to get into content. And in addition to movies and TV, verticals, mobile centric entertainment is huge and it's growing every day all over the world. So brands want to get in and they're testing the waters. More so in China. China's been doing it for many years now. I'm not sure how successful. I know they're getting a lot of views because China's a big country. India is now growing into it. I'm working with Japanese companies, but America, of course, is a huge market. And I will tell you frankly, I don't think that any of the companies that came in so far are seeing big results. Sure, you may, if you work with DramaBox or RealShort, you may get a lot of views. But as we said, a view depends on how they saw it. And I don't know if that's converting into product sales or even a brand recognition. So creating new shows that integrate brands organically is going to grow bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm working on that. And brand placement, which now is not too great Well, the micro dramas, because they're afraid of them, is going to grow, and I know how to do it, and it's a big business, and it will benefit producers because it's added revenue. If you do brand placement, you could get a nice little piece of the budget added on from the involvement of the brand. And if, of course, you produce an entire series with a brand, then that's a good business. So, yes, it's
And we
growing.
both know that the budgets for verticals are not so high.
Right, but a brand will pay more for quality, and they don't, brands do not want to be next to a show where a pregnant girl gets kicked in the stomach.
True.
That's another issue. That's why Procter and Gamble is on a separate, I think it's web-based. I think it's probably app now, but Jonah smartly put it separated from all the other big platforms because Procter and Gamble can't be in that mix.
Yeah, true, true. So hopefully it will increase the better storylines so that the
Yes.
better storylines are needed to do this branding also.
Yeah. And not only better storylines, but storylines that the audience will love and enjoy, and it's not selling, selling, selling. A brand can be presenting a show. Years ago, television started that way. General Electric and so many big companies created series, GE Presents, and they were quality shows that people enjoyed. They came out every week. And that's branding because you know, oh, that's a GE show, it's good. How far does that take you with a GE? A long way.
So
And
that it's not a
that's
classical
where micro
product
drama.
placement in the vertical itself.
Right. That's another way. Yeah. And I believe that that's going to happen. And I'm working on that.
Yeah, I think that would be great. Maybe there could be a bit also an increase in payment, because when I talk to also crew members and stuff like that, we know that there is a big payment difference sometimes, for example, for the female lead and the male lead, or the
Yep.
female director and the male director in verticals and stuff. So let's hope that this will have a lot of advantages for everyone in this space. So you are now based in LA. I heard recently that all the shootings and stuff in LA gets more and more expensive. That's why a lot of people start shooting in Europe or somewhere else in the US, in Atlanta. We saw lately in, where was it, Kentucky or Kansas? Where I
Yes,
saw
Kentucky,
the
yeah.
first shootings and stuff. So, what do you think, what is needed for making the shootings in LA more attractive again?
Well, a big problem in LA is the permits from the government. It's not only costly, but it's some time consuming. And I understand that the city government is working on that. They're trying, and hopefully there'll be changes there. There are places in the Los Angeles perimeter that will be a little cheaper up north. You can travel, but you have to travel 45 minutes an hour. That's 2 hours travel a day, and the 12-hour days. The turnaround time might not be enough for people to recover. So it's an issue. And the entertainment industry as a whole has, in past years, migrated out of Los Angeles. for productions, film, television, all over the world. Canada is huge, Vancouver.
Yeah.
So it's a continuing problem, and I hope it will be resolved. I don't have a solution. You can't keep reducing cost of labor in order to compensate for the cost of production, renting. So hopefully that will get better.
I mean, here in Europe, when I'm looking now here to Germany, and here in Germany, verticals are not very common at the moment. A lot of
But they're
people ask,
growing.
yeah, they started recently shooting verticals here. 2 hours from my hometown is a production company in the Black Forest, that started shooting the Black Forest production.
Yes, I know them.
But a lot of people don't even know something about verticals. A lot of people are asking me, what are you doing with this podcast? Is this about a movie or what is it? And so I think for example, let's say here in Germany or nearby Switzerland, I live in the south of Germany, really close to Austria, Switzerland, and somewhere else. You are driving 1 hour in LA and you are still in LA, and I'm driving 1 hour here and I'm already in Switzerland, for example. So here, I think, or I'm hoping, let's say I'm hoping that this market will grow more and more because I see a huge potential here. But for example, here in Germany, a really big problem is when someone doesn't know what these verticals are, and you are even Googling it and you're searching for a German written article on a newspaper or a website, you don't find rarely any information about that. So I think we are a bit behind all of that, actually. But for example, I think we have here in Germany great shooting locations. We have a lot of castle stuff. And so for example, period pieces,
I know.
we could shoot here so great in Germany.
Yeah, it's the same situation in all over Europe, primarily, and it's where America was 2 years ago. Japan also came in late. Japan came in, I think, early last year, and it's now starting to boom. As long as the world is migrating more and more to holding on to their cell phone for everything, entertainment will be seen on the cell phone. And I think that countries in Europe with the German language and Italian, Spanish, French, they need to build up content in their language. Also, the largest market in the world, of course, is China. They're half of the world market. The other half is dominated by America, which is half of that. So 25% is the rest of the world. Latin America is already booming. India is booming. East Asia and other parts of the world are now following and growing, but I think they need to build their local content first to attract people and then start to expand. It's coming. And this
Yeah.
is a good time for anyone in those countries. Japan is creating a lot of content. A lot of companies are coming in, big ones.
No, I'm curious. As I said, I saw a few sh BTS from the shootings from this production company in Black Forest. They are doing some doc series, about hospitals and the German had here in Germany. There was one classic TV show called Die Schwarzwald Klinik, the Black Forest Clinic, and it was all about being in this big clinic with amount of doctors, and I saw that they are doing a vertical with a lot of doctor storylines in it. So I'm very curious to see that. But the first casting calls here were also that they were looking only for influencers with a huge amount of followers. And I did some acting stuff too here in Germany, and I know one of these casting companies, and I sent them an email and sent us and wrote them, "Are you sure want to do it that way? It's not good. Wouldn't it be better to let a few vertical experienced people come over to learn from them so that we have to the chance to increase the quality from the beginning and not starting with trying, you know what I mean, and destroying the market even before it had the chance to grow." So we will
Yeah,
see.
that's a very good point. What happened in America is the Chinese came and they had 3, 4 years experience when they came, and they pretty much taught us, and it helped. And I have a friend who went to Germany and directed, I think, one or two. I think that that's a very good point to recommend.
When you now look back to the beginnings, what has changed since you
The
are watching it?
well, the audience has matured, and their preferences are more specific. They echoed what you just told me. They don't want to see the same storylines. They want to see better quality. And I think that producers coming into the space now, new platforms that are developing with established entertainment companies and newcomers, they see that they need to fill a niche, that there's a void in the market, and they're trying. So that's great. I see a lot of different new type of genres every month, and it's exciting.
We have round about more than 200 platforms at the moment.
Over 300.
Don't tell me it, because my last send was about 200, and that was already enough for the audience, because
I keep count. It's over 300.
okay, that's more demotivating. No, because you know, for the audience, that's really hard to catch up with the shows. The memberships are not really cheap. And if you see an advertising for a show and it's only one show on this platform, and then you have to purchase a membership for that one.
$25, what? All right.
What?
$25 to see one
Yes,
show.
yes,
Yeah.
yes.
And
For
then you
around
see
about a weekly
several a month,
membership.
you're spending $200, $300 a month.
Yeah, so that it gets more and more harder to catch up with the shows you really want to see, because it's getting more and more a financial problem also for the audience. And for example, Shara TV, which recently dropped, they want to try something new, but they started, now they are having it since a few days, but they even started without having free episodes until a paywall. When they started from the beginning, you had to pay directly to see anything of the show. You hadn't even the chance to decide, maybe do I like this show or not? Now they are having a paywall, but they don't have a membership. You have
Right,
to
you buy
pay
the
f
show and you can watch it as many times as you want.
yeah.
Yeah.
But if I'm watching round about 60 verticals per month, if I would have to pay $15 for every show.
Well, you are unique. You're what we call a whale. You know what the whales are?
No.
You're a whale. A whale,
Is that good or bad?
it originates from the gaming industry. There are whales and there are minnows. You know what a minnow is? Like a smaller amphibian. A minnow. So a whale is someone who is a big spender, and it comes from the gaming industry.
Okay.
So all the diehard fans of the vertical micro dramas who watch multiples a week, the whole thing, and they're obsessed, and they must watch one series without stopping.
That sounds so negative, Irv. Can you say it
No,
more nicely, please?
no, 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 no. It's just someone that they enjoy these. So they're called whales,
Okay.
the big spenders, and the apps, the platforms, of course, love that type of customer. The minnows are someone not even I'm not even a minnow. I'm a mini minnow. But a minnow is someone who will watch maybe one platform a month, and they're okay watching a few or one a week or whatever. But they could be spending average 50, $100 a month, and they're a good customer too. It's just a different level of customer.
Yeah.
But there are fewer whales than minnows. And so when you're talking about watching 60 series a month,
And
that's
that's
a
not much. I have
mega male, a minnow,
with my
mega
review.
whale.
Okay, then I have to tell my review ladies, we are all the way. Because, for example, when I'm talking, I'm sure you know her, Dahlia from Verticals Films Lover. She has every month nearly 70 shows she's watching.
She's a mega whale.
I call Dahlia. I'm sure you will see her on the vertical drama market now, so you can
Oh,
say, "Hey,
great.
Dahlia, you're a mega whale."
But it's just a terminology, of course, originating from the gaming industry, but now is coming into the microdrama industry.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Such concepts where I cannot purchase a membership to watch all the shows published there for free. That doesn't work for people who
I
watch
know.
so many shows. Because as I said, if I will bill if $15 per show, hello, I'm bankrupt. I'm
I
so
have
nearly bankrupt already, but you know what I mean? That
I have a solution for that also. And I actually published this, so it's not a secret. I have a whole different formula for the microdrama platforms. I call it my disruptor plan, because I think that I feel that the microdrama platforms, the big companies, and all the others, they haven't changed their business model since the beginning,
No, they haven't.
basically.
They haven't.
Basically. So my plan is to charge $5 a month for all you can watch. No paywalls. There is some advertising, but minimal. $5 a month and
Per
quality
platform.
for one platform. That's all you have to pay. You don't have to pay as you go. That's it, flat fee. And there are fewer series dropping, but they're dropping in a different method. They're dropping let's say you have a series of 50 episodes, you have blocks of, let's say, six or seven dropping every night. So episode one through six drops night number day one. Drop episode 7 through 12, day two.
Candy
So
Jar did that first.
I'm sorry.
When Candy Jar or Galatea former, they dropped sometimes only a few episodes and uploaded the rest later. But for such as impatient people like I am, that's horror. That's really horror. Because I prefer to watch really from the beginning till the end, one way through, or I drop out if the story is not good.
But the bundles every day will have a major cliffhanger at the end, so that you're excited to watch the next few, and you don't have to pay extra.
Like a daily soap in the television, isn't it?
Exactly. But it's not a teaser, because it's going to be, let's say, six, and every episode is not the same length. Like, that's another thing that hasn't changed. They're all around a minute, minute and a half. So you can predict how long it's going to be, but an episode could be half a minute. It could be 3 minutes. It could be 5 minutes, depending on the content of the episode. So if you have six episodes, for example, it could be 25 minutes. And if you watch one show's drop every night, that's a nice time to have. You don't have to spend all your time watching a micro drama. You'll get used to it. And then there's a crossover, so you can watch other shows after that. You can watch show number one, episode one through six, and then the same night, show number two could have started a few days before, and you can watch then episode 35 through 40, 42. You understand?
Yeah, I
So.
understand, but for me.
Yeah, you want to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, this mix up to go back. It's the same when people are having three books beside their beds and reading in every book a bit every evening. For me, it's hard to have such a mix up because I feel more comfortable to have the possibility to watch it from the beginning till the end and, ending it and then putting it aside for something new. So I haven't to concentrate to two or three storylines at the same time and have not maybe the mix up between these storylines.
Here's another solution. What about shorter series? 25 to 30 episodes. They're really action-packed. You don't have to go through 40, 50, 60 episodes, which I think is too long.
Do you think the story has enough depth that then? Because with when was it
Because
last monthly recap or the monthly recap before, we discussed Candy Jar has a lot of stories with 40, 45 episodes. And we discussed about it if sometimes that's so less in episodes that the whole depth of the story cannot involve while the story continues.
Are there episodes pretty much the same length each? Okay, so my formula wouldn't be that way. Episodes would be different lengths depending on what happens.
No,
So,
okay. Then it makes more sense because sometimes with this shorter amount of episodes, you have the feeling that a bit of the story is missing. But in the different case, sometimes you watch a vertical with 60, 70 episodes, where at the end, my opinion is okay, it would have been done in 50 episodes also, and it wouldn't have been missed anything. So, as you said, I think it depends on the length
Of each episode,
True.
right? And if you have a shorter series, that makes sense. So I will listen to you, and I think that's a good input.
Do you think that the platforms are open for such changes?
Very reluctant. It's a big disruptor. And my entire plan has a lot of different changes. I think that if you do it little by little, or if you have a new platform that comes in with new ideas, people will adapt to it, and if they like it, it will succeed.
I have one last question because before I want to ask you this first question quickie. A big theme actually is the AI stuff coming up lately in these verticals. We see a totally the whole AI created stories. Drama Wave recently posted a lot, all around about 30 episodes, but in total, everything is AI created in it. We see some verticals where AI is used, but in a good way for maybe werewolf stuff, the shiftings, the special, let's say special effects in the storyline. And then recently we saw a lot of AI created advertisings without the permission of the actors. For example, the one advertising with Nikri Tucker and Ashley Michelle Grant in it, or Nevin Tomich, was shown in a very borders crossing advertising AI created, which had none to do with the vertical itself. And they were shown in sexual scenes and stuff like that, where the actors never agreed to. So, what are your thoughts about this, in my opinion, lately, the last 2 months coming up more and more AI stuff in the verticals?
The latter example is very separate from all the others. I think that AI is here. And like you said, you can segment it in different ways. Using AI with actors to enhance the scene is great, and it will grow. You need AI in the production processing because it's going to speed up the process and make it more cost effective, and that's growing. AI generated native content with, let's separate it, synthetic human characters. I think there's definitely room for it. For example, if you have like a biblical show, and you want to show very unique scenes and people, I think that could be fun and interesting. Historical content, and also sometimes if you have current modern day content that could be different and exciting with synthetic humans, I think there's a place for it. There's a big place for using AI with skinning. Are you familiar with the term skinning? You've seen the Chinese AI micro dramas with the cats and the dogs and the feet, which when I first saw the cats and the dogs, I love dogs, so I said, oh, this is so cool. And it's fun to watch. I don't know if I can watch a lot of them on and on, but Gen Z needs new content. They tire of content. They need the new things, the fruit, the talking rocks, etc. So that's called skinning, where it looks like humans, they've put a layer over the real human characters to portray different inhuman characters. That said, I think that there needs to be a mix. I think that human beings, the audience, wants to see real humans in content. They follow actors. Kamen Carter has almost 800,000 followers worldwide, and people follow him from platform to platform because they want to watch him in a show and all the others. So that's definitely going to stay and will be big. And I think that people like to see new actors. They're always yearning for the next new star, the new face. So human beings will be what they yearn for and what they want to watch. I think there should be, in my opinion, a mix. I don't know exactly what the mix would be, but I would say maybe 80% human, 20% AI, totally AI. And the 80% human could be partly using AI backgrounds and special effects, which is great.
Yeah, for the werewolf ones, it's fantastic.
And there's a lot you can do with it. So the problem is that a lot of the platforms are profit oriented. They report to investors, to board of directors, and AI generated microdramas have in recent months been proven to get the same revenue results as the ones with humans, but at, I think it's like 20% of the cost, 20 to 30% of the cost. So there's your answer why I think we're here in Japan, no, in China, sorry, horror stories of actors who were famous in microdramas now out of work and going back to farm work. That's sad. And I think that it will probably backfire with many of these companies that are moving so quickly into AI.
And full
I think,
AI then, yeah.
so we will see. You know, usually China's ahead of the world. I don't think it will happen outside of China as quickly. And I think there should be a mix, majority human and small minority AI, which can always be changed, and you can see different fun things. Makes it exciting. And
Yeah,
they're
true.
getting billions of views in China. The dog AI microdramas and the fruit, billions of views. Of course, it's China, but they're doing well.
Pets are always working. If I'm thinking about this matrimony vertical where John Henry Richardson has his dog Gucci. That was so adorable. That was so adorable. Yeah, pets are always working. As long as they are well treated in the vertical, we saw a few where they haven't been well treated also. So yeah, we will see. Irv, at the end of every episode, I'm asking everyone, doesn't matter which type in the vertical space, the same five questions. First one, I love to cook, and I'm always asking what's the favorite dish?
That I would cook.
No, what you love to eat. I don't know.
Oh,
Can you
no,
cook? Are you a good cook?
Yeah, I could be. But I love Italian food, and yeah, Italian, I guess, would be my favorite.
Yeah, I totally understand. From here, it's only a 4 hours car drive, and I'm in Italy. And I love Italian food. We have a lot of Italian restaurants here because a lot of Italian guest workers were here in the 60s and 70s. So
Yeah, I know.
a
I
lot
love
of.
Wiener Schnitzel, which is more Austrian, but
Yeah, my mom is from Austria. She's Austrian. And the good Wiener Schnitzel, you cannot decline.
I know.
Second one, do you have any comfort movie you love to watch? Because I don't know, childhood memories or a movie where you have special memories with?
Citizen Kane, you know that
I heard about it. What's the story?
it has been the number one favorite top movie of all time. It's from the 1930s with Orson Welles, and it was a groundbreaking movie in black and white. Rocky, I think, is one the
Yeah.
original. The original Rocky, I think, is one of the best, well formed movies with every element that really hits it. And there are a lot. I'm a big movie fan.
What was the latest movie you watched in a cinema?
I don't remember. I don't go to the theaters much. The last one I saw in a on a big screen was Playback, my micro drama.
Why not?
Yeah,
Why not?
and it was good.
Everything changes, even the screen. So,
Yeah,
what type of music do you like, Irv?
I love classical now. When I love all types of music, but classical will put me in a good mood and calm me down. I have a very hectic day. I'm always working, always thinking, so that really puts me in a different feeling and mood.
So you told me that you haven't really watched the vertical from the beginning till the end now. But let me ask you then in that way, what type of vertical you possibly love to watch? What type of storylines are you in?
Yeah, I'm waiting for a good horror vertical. I love horror movies. I love sci-fi as my favorite genre, but I'm not sure yet how sci-fi would work
A
in
lot of
this.
the actors, I was asking which genre you want to see more on you. A lot of the actors said also sci-fi, kind of Star Wars line or space stories.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how that would work. Actually, as a side note, I've written over 150 treatments for micro dramas. And by treatment, I mean extended treatment, 150. So I'm passionate about the genre. And there's one story that I wrote that I know will be a big hit, and I can't wait to do it. I want to see micro dramas that have extended life. And by that I mean not only a sequel, not only a part two, but universes, worlds where you have characters splintering into different stories and related worlds. I think that fans yearn for that. They would love that, because if they love one micro drama, if they love the storyline and the characters, I know that they would want to see a continuation in some way, not a repeat.
That's what I liked on Candy Jar. Candy Jar had a lot of shows with sequels. For example, The Arrangement had four sequels. And I spoke with Kirby Elwood, and we have to find the hidden billionaire or win the lottery jackpot so that we can do it. Kirby was so disappointed that she never had the possibility to shoot here in Europe. And I said, I want to have more criminal series, you know, like Sherlock Holmes and Miss Marple style. So that we had two leads, two detective ones, and we had six sequels in six different countries here in Europe. And in every country, they have to solve another criminal case so that the leads are always the same, so that the audition can sympathize with them and try to solve the criminal case together, let's say together, in every time they are watching this vertical with them. And I'm saying that a lot. We don't need always the billionaire CEO, hooked up, pregnant, surrogate, whatever. We need more down-to-earth stories. We need more stories where the audience can identify what is going on and what is happening. Not that it's some type of, let's say, fairy tale, which is told so that we. I was so surprised, for example, that there were only, I think, four or five verticals with the theme about this online dating stuff.
Of what?
Online dating.
Oh,
For
okay.
example, the billionaire matchmaker Jeff Violette did. You know, this whole theme, this online dating, and it is so common and so used in the everyday that I don't understand why, for example, this was a vertical story. You know, you could deliver all the vertical tropes to people. They are knowing each other on the platform, and maybe they run accidentally into another without knowing it in a real life. And then, you know, so that would be such a more realistic story.
And not only that, but stories about people who aren't only in their 20s or early 30s, people who are in their late 30s, 40s, or 50s, who are still living and still doing life. And that would be attractive to younger generations as well if you connect with them, because it's the same storyline. We all have the same emotions.
Yeah, true,
And
true.
also there's an older audience that's yearning for that.
Yeah.
And more badass women.
Oh,
Uh,
yes.
there's definitely there's so much. They're all in my 150 treatments. And
So
I'm I,
my hope is in you, Irv.
yeah. Yeah, let's talk after this, really. I really enjoyed this talk.
You know, I'm always saying we need. I had so many ideas for stories. I pitched one with Teek Sadhana about my real life because my real life is better than any vertical story. I can tell you that. I had a brain surgery with memory loss, cheating in that time, everything, everything. But it was my real life, or it is my real life. And I could deliver so many vertical tropes, I could tell you. And I spoke when I recorded with Teek Sadhana from New York, the actor. I spoke about it with him about that, and I said, "Listen, what about this typical storylines like Scrubs had? You know, this hospital series where you can sympathize with the doctor because." Sorry for saying that so many people have their own package to carry every day in their everyday life, going to hospital, illnesses. I want to see a partnership where the partners are backing up each other. Not that someone is ill or whatever, and mostly the husband is cheating them and stuff like that. I had missed exceptional for a few storylines. So often the storylines where you see that the husband is backing up his wife and standing up for this wife. You don't see that.
Or that. And then what about the couple that is each person is having trouble dealing with their own life and they're trying to support the other partner, but they can't do it in a good way. That's happening now all the time,
For
where
example, the whole stuff
the
with the
couples
mental
are
illness.
individually having very difficult challenges in life and not being able to support each other the way they want to. And it's not like you say about a fantasy world. And I think people will enjoy that.
Yeah, we need more a bit down to earth stories where the audience can identify with, you know? Also with kind of an happy end so that they see, okay, they can fight for each other, they can stand up for each other. It can get good in the end. It doesn't ever have
Oh
this
yeah.
one that the man is cheating then, that this and that and this will happen then. That's not needed, so that we can have this kind of happy end, but the happy end seeing in something that normally should be normal in a partnership, that they are backing and helping each other as good as they can. But that's missing in this vertical stuff. One last question. What are your wishes for this vertical industry?
I have a lot of wishes. That's tough because I really have a crystal ball in my head. I know what's coming. I wish that the companies behind the platforms, the producers, the distributors would respect the audience more, listen to them, not only for what they want, but what they how they can participate. Because, like you said, it's so costly for people who love these, who want to watch many of them a week, to afford it. And we have to find a way to do that. I do have solutions, but I hope that the platforms and producers pay attention to that. And I will say that there is an awakening coming because if you watch what's happening, the main companies that control the ad and the customer acquisition are TikTok, ByteDance, and Meta with Facebook and Instagram. That's where all the big platforms, apps are spending money to their customer acquisition. And they're doing a lot of it. And the statistics are that they're spending 5 to 10 times more on customer acquisition costs than they're getting in revenue. Okay, so that's a formula business model that can't continue for long. And now the gatekeepers of all this advertising, customer acquisition, ByteDance, TikTok with Pine Drama and Meta with Facebook, Instagram is starting their own micro drama type of platform. They own that distribution network. And if they have their own content, what do you think is going to happen? So all these platforms that have been overspending with these companies are now going to compete with the same companies that are now showing their own content on their delivery system. Let that sink in. So I don't know if I want to leave you with that, but there are alternatives And I hope that companies, there are the newer ones that are coming up that I believe are trying.
Yeah,
And
we will
there's
see.
definitely a,
I just want more comfort to watch. You know what I mean? It's so simple.
You don't want the platforms to look at you as if you're stupid.
That's
You
it.
don't you want respect. You want them to connect with you. You want them to show you content, entertainment that you enjoy, that inspires you, that gives you escape, that motivates you, that gives you hope, that connects you with emotions and everything that we all need in entertainment. And yes, I hope for that. I don't see that coming with a lot of the big platforms, but I know that there are many who are trying to do that.
Yeah, so we will see. Maybe we will have to talk in 1 year again. What happened? Okay.
Yeah, I like to do it sooner than that.
We
Maybe
can
in
do it
half a year.
anytime. Maybe we can talk again at the end of the year.
With other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Let's have
True.
a group.
I enjoy
I
always
think
doing
like you
these
have a
groups
group of
with
fans.
my ladies, to be honest, because it's so
I love
many
it.
point of
I love
views,
it.
you know, so many different
I love
opinions,
it. You have
but in
different
the end,
countries.
it's mostly often the same.
Yes. Everyone wants the same thing.
Yeah,
And I
exactly.
think with the people behind the scenes, like me, we also want the same thing. Of course, we all need to earn a living.
Yeah.
But if you're a passionate filmmaker, provider of entertainment, a fan like I am, you want to produce content that's meaningful, that people enjoy, that's evergreen, that people will watch for decades, centuries. And if you do that in a good way, in a smart way, you will make money. And so I would love to have that conversation with several people. Let's make it a regular thing so the audience can connect.
I'm
And
open for that anytime.
thank you. It was really a pleasure,
And thank
Michaela.
you for your time, Erwin. And as I said, I wish I could be on the vertical drama market because that would be the most interesting stuff for me, but they don't even live stream it. So that's a bit shit. Maybe next
Good.
year.
I'll talk to Dana for next time.
Yeah. That would be great. That would be great.
Thank you.
Earth,
Thank
we
you
will
very much. It
stay in
was a real
contact.
pleasure. Let's talk soon.
I wish you a great day and thanks for your time and send you lovely greetings to LA from Germany here.
I will. Same here. Bye.
This is a wrap on this episode and I hope you tune in again.